Welcome in, everybody, to the Wednesday edition of Supernatural News and Parish. Here I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is our co-hostess for the day. She's intelligent, she's witty, she's funny, she's everything I wish I could be when I grow up. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jessica Freeberg. How you doing, Jessica?
Yes, I'm here. I'm good, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being back with us. Boy, we have a huge show. We've got a jam-packed show for today. First of all, I have to ask you, did you go blind on Monday?
I did not. Do you know what's weird? It was like nothing even happened here. The clouds were so over everything. The whole sky was just cloud covered. Mm-hmm. So I didn't notice it.
Yeah, there was almost nothing to see here, except for I mentioned it to Mally yesterday. I think one of my chipmunks got into the house.
What?
Yeah, I think it might have been Logan, and I think he was so freaked out by what was going on outside that he looked for shelter, and he actually found the hole that goes into the house here. So
yeah, I bet they did notice it, because it is different for them. They observe it more. Somebody was saying on the news that if you were in the line of the eclipse, mm-hmm. when it all went dark, you could feel it, like almost like in your heart. There was like this weird sensation that you actually physically felt as that transition happened. So I bet it's like triple time for an animal.
And we have a story about that today. They're calling it eclipse sickness.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and they are saying that it does affect people and animals in a different way. Now, I was also mentioning to Mally yesterday that there was the cutest little story ever from National Public Radio about what to do for your animals if they wanted to look at the eclipse, and they showed the cutest little puppy that actually looks like your puppy wearing a pair of goggles. So that they could look at the eclipse, which is the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Of course, you wouldn't put a pair of goggles on a dog.
Phoebe Buffay would not tolerate that at all.
No. And chances are, as it stated in the article, most animals will not look at an eclipse. They tend to take cover. In fact, if you sit outside during an eclipse, you'll notice that everything goes silent during an eclipse. Most wild animals will take cover, take shelter, because it's an unnatural, to them, it's an unnatural happening in nature. So their instinct is to go hide.
Yeah. Further proof that animals are smarter than us, because we are like looking up at it, burning our corneas, and they're like, I'm not looking up at that.
Right. Right. To them, it's danger. Something is not right. There's something not unnatural about the movement of the earth and the moon and the stars. They feel like there's something unnatural, or I shouldn't say unnatural, but something dangerous happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's something dark, something ominous. So they take flight. Us, we're looking up going, wow, oh my gosh, it's so neat. And we're crying. And there's, first of all, I need your impression as to what people's reactions were to this thing. And you can already tell I'm tainting your response, but what was your reaction to what you saw in the news and whatnot?
I mean, people were really into it, and I feel like I would never judge anyone for what gets them really fired up. For some people, it seemed like it was just a real spiritual thing, mm-hmm. and they just were feeling it on a deep level. I think if I was in a place where I could see it, I would probably go out and see it. I don't know that I would get that excited about it. But you know, to each their own.
Here in the Midwest, we downplay a lot of stuff anyway. So it's not like, you know,
we do.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, an eclipse. There you go. So I don't know that we would have got as worked up as most people, but here's the deal, folks. And I stated it yesterday on the show. And now that this thing has happened, a lot of the news media is kind of repeating what I'm about to tell you. There's an eclipse every year and a half to 2 years somewhere on the earth. The fact of the matter is most eclipses happen somewhere on the earth that is covered by water. So you can't just step out your door and see an eclipse every year and a half to 2 years. You'd have to be somewhere.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you'd have to be somewhere in an ocean somewhere in order to see it. the next eclipse to appear will be somewhere around Iceland or Spain, and that's in 2 years. So you can travel to the next eclipse. It's not like this is, you know, it's not like this is an unusual phenomenon. Now, the next time that you can see an eclipse here in our own backyard is going to be, I think, what do they say, 20, 45, 53, something like that. It's in the next 20 years, 20, 30 years. So, yeah, it's going to be a while until it comes to our backyard again. So, yeah, okay, so it's, you know, until it comes around to us again, it's going to be a while. But if you want to travel to go see an eclipse, it won't take very long.
Yeah, you can find one.
Yeah, exactly. So there's no reason to get all worked up. If you want to see one again, you could see it relatively easy. But for people to decide that they're having a spiritual experience about it, come on, folks. That's like having a spiritual experience about the smoke rings that were just happening in Italy. Above the volcano. I mean, you know, Eddie Van Halen blew great smoke rings too, but I'm not having a spiritual experience about the smoke rings either. So, you know, there are natural phenomena that happen in this universe. Now, it's beautiful, sure. And we're seeing everything in the universe, and you realize how majestic this universe is, and you can take it in for its beauty. And what exactly is there? Okay. But
yeah.
You know, and, you know, maybe you feel closer to God that way. I get it. Or maybe it makes you think that maybe there is a God. Maybe you have discovered something more, better. I don't know. Or maybe you feel closer to the universe that way. I don't know. Maybe you've come to some epiphany by seeing this. That's great. Whatever floats your boat. But
yeah, I think it is a thing too, where people are so busy that we don't take a lot of time to pause and observe mm-hmm. what is around us and how big the universe is and how small we are in comparison to the universe. And so maybe that's why people get so jazzed about it, because it is that moment where they're just kind of still and in that stillness, observational about just how small they are and how there's so much more stuff out there. I don't know. I mean, I kind of get it, but I don't know. I get more excited about, I don't know, my dogs, ghost hunting, finishing a book on time for my editor.
There you go. I would hope some flat earthers took the opportunity to take a look at the eclipse and maybe come to reason. That was my hope with the whole day, that they actually looked up in the sky when this thing happened and went, oh, you know what? There's a little bit more to this deal than just, you know, I don't know.
Maybe the earth isn't flat.
Maybe it isn't flat. Maybe we're not just in a saucer. And you know what? There's a lot more depth out there than what I thought. You know, it's funny because we all form our opinions based on our own experiences. And, you know, although, you know, you may think that the teachings are just what the man wants us to know. It's amazing when you see it for yourself, what's actually out there. I told you before about eclipse sickness, Jessica.
Yeah. What is this?
Let's jump into our first story, because this is interesting. You know, there were a lot of people out there. In one location alone, I think it was in Indianapolis, there were 50,000 people sitting in one particular location alone, sitting all together, taking in the eclipse vibes, if you will. Eclipse sickness is causing weird feelings for people, headaches, insomnia, according to some social media users. They're claiming that they're feeling physically sick after Monday's solar eclipse hit the U.S., and they believe the rare phenomena is to blame for their strange symptoms. Now, parts of the U.S. were plunged into darkness on Monday as that solar eclipse blocked out the sun, and some social media users are reporting some weird feelings. Just as Jess said, people are saying they feel weird after seeing this thing, and they believe it could be down to so-called eclipse sickness from the celestial event. The rare phenomena happens when the moon lines up between the earth and sun, blocking out the light for just a few moments. Tens of millions of people were in the area of complete totality, with many others experiencing the eclipse in some shape or form. while the eclipse lasted just a few minutes, and that is literally just a few minutes, between 3 and 4 minutes when you're in complete totality. Some people reported feeling strange about the unusual event. Humans have been watching total eclipses since the dawn of written history, and while they used to be viewed with much suspicion in modern times, for the most part, it is seen as something to be marveled at instead of feared. However, there are still some people who view the eclipse with unease, and users have been taking to X, formerly known as Twitter, to describe some strange symptoms. One person said, "Been feeling physically ill for a few days now, and I feel like it's been because of the Mercury retrograde and the upcoming solar eclipse. Does anyone else feel off or sick these days?" Well, another said, "Any of you also experiencing headache because of the solar eclipse?" One user said they had been feeling wiped out, writing, "A lot of people talking about the total solar eclipse and full moon, but is anyone actually feeling it? This just has me wiped out, feeling weird." Another claimed it had thrown her menstrual cycle off and that their period was now synced with the eclipse. That's unusual.
Wow.
Yeah. Other social media users revealed that they've been battling insomnia too. One user said, "Anyone else suffering from weird insomnia, no appetite, another weird shit," as they put it, "that can't be explained. Someone told me the eclipse might have something to do with it, but I don't get how." While the eclipse certainly left some people feeling off, NASA has previously dispelled the misconception that the phenomena has an impact on human health. In a post ahead of the last solar eclipse, visible in the U.S., which happened back in 2017, the space agency said there is no physical relationship between a total solar eclipse and your health, any more than there is a relationship between your health and new moon. That's interesting. Among a random sample of people, you may find such correlations from time to time, but they are outnumbered by all the other occasions during which your health was excellent. That's a direct quote from NASA. When it comes to animals, however, a total eclipse can cause some strange behavior. Pet owners may have noticed that their animals were acting different, as animal behavior is controlled by an internal biological clock optimized by light. This controls when nocturnal animals sleep and rise. The dimming of light during the eclipse could have thrown off some pet sleeping patterns, affecting their hormones, which is interesting as well. So there you go. Your animals might have been acting weird, but as far as eclipse sickness goes, well, NASA says probably not. However, you know something, Jess? Now that this has come out, or now that this article has come out, I've had a headache all day Monday.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a faint headache, and I don't get headaches.
I don't know. I kind of buy that it could cause some physical symptoms in people. I think there's just stuff that we can't explain. I mean, think about the full moon. When there's a full moon, stuff just happens. Like, people get a little nutty, for lack of a better way to describe it. My mom was a nurse, and she would say, no, it's a thing. Like, it definitely is a thing when it's a full moon. There's a lot more people that come in that just have some crazy stuff going on, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know why that it wouldn't cause some sort of an effect on us. I think I'm probably too tired all the time to notice. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just generally always feel crappy, so it's just another day.
No, I hear you too. I mean, you get to a certain age and you don't feel right most of the time. And then there's days where you feel really good and you go, wow, that's the exception, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Monday I didn't feel as good as I normally do. And I thought that was unusual, but then, but I did have a dull headache most of the day. It was a small one. It wasn't and I don't normally get headaches. So I just,
interesting.
But I didn't, I just thought maybe it was just, you know, I was off from the weekend. It was a big weekend, you know? So I just thought, maybe I was dehydrated. And that's all I thought it was. So
could have been.
Yeah. So, in relation to this solar eclipse, there's a news story out there saying that a UFO was darting through the sky during the eclipse, as some spectators were screaming about aliens.
Awesome.
There you go. This was happening in Arlington, Texas, at the same time that people were looking skyward at the eclipse. A UFO was spotted during the eclipse on Monday, and some people reckon, I love how certain media outlets in Europe use the word reckon all the time, reckon it might have been aliens. Onlookers were left shocked by the sight of a slender arrow-like object zipping through the clouds as they tried to catch a glimpse of the eclipse in Arlington, Texas. In footage shared online and now viewed by millions of people, one of the spectators was heard exclaiming, "What the F was that?" as the mystery object moved through the sky. Taking to the internet to share the video, one person said on X, "Red alert, a new video just surfaced of the UFO spotted over Arlington, Texas during the solar eclipse today, and people are freaking out because it seems to disappear into the clouds. The shape of the object has been likened to a disc or a cigar. In the footage, a spectator can be heard saying, 'Whoa, there's something flying through the air. What the F was that?' Meanwhile, another person screamed, 'It's aliens, it's aliens!' Commenting on the video, an X user said, 'Whoa, it reminds me of the movie Nope.' Another said, 'Not surprised, you'd be a fool to think aliens not going to visit Earth to witness the solar eclipse.'" Well, now, come on. I mean,
they're excited about it too, Tim.
I mean, do you have to be on Earth to see the solar eclipse? You know, there is a, if you're watching NBC, Gotti Schwartz got up in an airplane and he went up to, I think it was 20,000 feet, and he watched the solar eclipse. He went into the path of totality and kind of cut into the path and watched it for 4.5 minutes.
Wow.
From an airplane. So you don't.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't have to be on Earth to watch it. You can fly through it, Jess.
Let's do that next time. Let's plan it.
I think we have to, yeah. Not everyone was convinced by the UFO sighting, however. One person posted on X, "Shadow on the clouds from a higher altitude airplane. I have seen this many times as an aviation spotter." Another asked, "Aliens love visiting the United States of America. Do they know there are other places too?" Oh, of course, there's always one smart ass posting. A third said, "Conspiratorial thinking has now led people to forget that airplanes exist." While a fourth said, "Calm down, dude. It's just an airplane flying above the clouds." You know, as part of that NBC story, Gotti was also saying that the airspace, the FAA had the airspace tightly controlled during that day. They didn't want a lot of planes flying out of their airspace or pattern too much, but Gotti was noticing that a lot of flights were breaking off their patterns and going upward because they wanted to see that pattern of totality, and they wanted to fly into it to know it, to get a glimpse of the eclipse, a better glimpse of it while they were flying.
I would too.
So I got to think that a lot of people might have misconstrued, although I don't know, I'm looking at, this is the photo. I'll show you the photo real quick here. I'm thinking a lot of people might be thinking that might be, I can't tell if that's an airplane or an alien.
I don't know. It's different. It's definitely not identifiable easily.
That's true. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting nonetheless. And when you have clouds like that and something's moving quick, especially if maybe it's an airplane that's out of its airspace or out of its flight plan, you got to move quick. Otherwise, you might get caught by a tower. So, you know, that's saying something else. One last story here before we go to break. A UFO visits a key nuclear installation in Tamil Nadu, and it's baffling experts. Again, another story about a UFO trying to mess with a nuclear installation. Maybe it's trying to disarm it. Who knows? Sabir Hussein said a sub-inspector named Saeed Abdul Qadir, attached to the technical wing of the Tirunelveli SP office, spotted UFOs and took two videos of the flying objects. We go to Chennai, where they're claiming that UFOs were spotted in the sky covering, oh boy, this is a name here, Jess, Kudankulam in the Tirunelveli district last year, UFO tracker Sabir Hussein said these unidentified objects are mysteriously showing up and around locations where nuclear power plants are set up. In July last, a retired DGP had claimed to have spotted UFOs near the Nilankarai Mahabalipuram Sea Coast. Kalpakkam, home to a nuclear energy plant, is not far from this coast. Kudankulam, too, has a nuclear plant. Now, Sabir Hussein said a sub-inspector named Saeed Abdul Qadir, attached to the technical wing of the Turunvali SP office, had spotted UFOs and had taken two videos of the flying objects. This incident happened just 10 days after former DGP Prateep V. Philip took pictures of a UFO on the Murukadu seashore near Chennai, he noted. Saeed, an engineering graduate, has seen UFOs more than 10 times in the Kudankulam, I'm trying to pronounce this correctly, area in August of 2023, added Sabir. Sabir believes that UFOs are roving near nuclear establishments in a global phenomenon, and said countries like the U.S. have already started taking it very seriously. New legislation under the U.S. National Defense Authorization Act terminated the UAP, or Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, secrecy. The act mandates that the spotting of UAPs be reported to Congress in both classified and unclassified forms regularly. The act also lists specific requirements to report UAP incidents related to nuclear weapons. The details of the number of the reported incidents and descriptions thereof UAP associated with military nuclear assets, including strategic nuclear weapons and nuclear-powered ships and submarines and facilities or assets associated with the production, transportation, or storage of nuclear weapons or components thereof, along with nuclear energy production facilities, are to be regularly updated to the Congress as per the new U.S. Act. When contacted, S.I. Saeed Abdul Qadir told DT Next, which is a publication, that he had seen the unidentified flying objects in Kudankulam since 2020. After meeting UFO tracker Sabir and discussing with him, I am more than 100% sure what I saw were UFOs, he said. He believes that the flying behavior of the objects he saw was completely different from what human technology had achieved so far. The way it stood still and the way it made zigzag movements and the speed in which it disappeared all were different, he went on to recall. Interesting. So
very interesting.
Yeah, so we're seeing UFOs happening over in the Asian continents. So
yeah, and that phenomenon of them being sighted near nuclear facilities, I was just kind of Googling as you were reading, and there's actually an article on history.com, which is a really reputable website, and they're talking about it there and said it's been going on since the 1940s.
There you go. There you go. So we go from UFOs to IFOs, which would be unidentified flying objects.
Okay.
Before we go to break, this unidentified flying object is space junk, which crashed through a man's house and almost hits his son.
Oh, no.
That's right. Thank God this has never happened to me in my house. But Japan's space agency knows full well what we're talking about. In fact, the International Space Station has a little something to do with it. A man from Florida may have to sue Japan after rubbish from the International Space Station crashed through his house.
What a day. We were just saying how it's been a day. At least it wasn't that kind of a day.
That's right. I haven't had any rubbish from the ISS go through my house. Japan's space agency is in for some trouble. Unsurprisingly, there's limited space for garbage on the ISS, meaning teams on board regularly throw their rubbish out into space, where it falls to Earth and burns up in the atmosphere. At least, that's the theory. right? Last month, however, they dropped a pallet of used batteries, the heaviest trash dump yet, and it seems some of it survived the fiery reentry over the Gulf of Mexico. Alejandro Otero believes part of the pallet plummeted through the roof of his home in Naples, Florida, narrowly missing his son.
My gosh.
Yeah. Sharing security footage on X, formerly Twitter, which captured the sound of the falling debris, Mr. Otero said, "Looks like one of those pieces landed on my house in Naples. It tore through the roof and went through two floors and almost hit my son," he went on to say. I've actually got pictures for you here, Jess. Take a look at this.
Gosh, I can't believe this. This is crazy to me.
Yeah. Just
holy
boom.
Smokes.
Right through the roof and right into the home. There you go. Pictures of the damage show broken roof tiles where it punched a hole into the house, a hole in the ceiling, broken floorboards and the debris itself, a small metal cylinder roughly 10 centimeters long and 4 centimeters wide. Speaking to Wink News, W-I-N-K, Wink News, Mr. Otero said, "I was shaken. I was completely in disbelief. What are the chances of something landing on my house with such force to cause so much damage? Obviously, I'm super grateful no one got hurt." On X, Mr. Otero shared pictures of the incident with astronomer and astrophysicist Jonathan McDowell, who had been tracking the debris, officially known as the EP-9 equipment pallet, as it fell. The EP equipment pallet re-entered at 1929 UTC, or 2:29 p.m. Florida time, over the Gulf of Mexico between Cancun and Cuba, he said. This was within the previous prediction window, but a little to the northeast of the most likely part of the path. A couple minutes later, reentry, and it would have reached Fort Myers, Florida.
Oh, man.
Man. Mr. Otero added that he had been unable to contact NASA to discuss repairing the damage to his property, to which Dr. McDowell replied, "NASA are not the right people to contact. I have passed this on to the experts at the Aerospace Corporation who study this sort of thing." However, a NASA spokesperson told ARS Techna that NASA will analyze the object as soon as possible to determine its origin. More information will be available once the analysis is complete. Here's where it gets really interesting. According to Michelle Hanlon, executive director for the Center for Air and Space Law at the University of Mississippi, NASA may not be liable for the damage. If it's a human-made space object which was launched into space by another country, which caused damage on Earth, that country would be absolutely liable to the homeowner for the damage caused, she said, speaking to ARS Technica. In this case, the batteries were owned by NASA, but the pallet was made by the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency, or JAXA, meaning that Mr. Otero may need to lodge his complaint with Japan.
He is never getting reimbursed, this poor guy.
Luckily, for many reasons, damage from falling space debris is very rare. Most things that crash on Earth or into Earth do not survive the journey, instead burning up on reentry. If they do make it through, luckily the planet is very, very big, so the chances of it colliding with people or property are very slim. The European Space Agency estimates the risk of a person being hit by space debris at less than 1 in 100 billion every year.
Wow.
You have a better chance of winning the lottery than you do of being hit by space debris.
Yeah, that guy should go buy a lottery ticket. Maybe he'll have the opposite, the good luck instead of the bad.
That's right. Near misses have happened, however, including in December when both sides' boosters from a Chinese Long March 3B rocket fell over Guangxi in the south of the country. One was filmed exploding in a fireball as it fell into woodland, but the other crashed just meters from a house.
My gosh.
In 2022, a huge debris from a SpaceX rocket landed in a farmer's field in Jindabyne, New South Wales, Australia. And in 1997, Lottie Williams was struck on the shoulder by a piece of metal while walking in a park in Tulsa, Oklahoma, although never 100% verified as space debris, NASA confirmed that the timing and location was consistent with the path of a Delta rocket as it broke up over the country, making Ms. Williams the only person thought to have been hit by falling space junk.
Wow.
Luckily, it was only a glancing blow, and she lived to tell the tale. But think about that. If Lottie Williams would have been hit with a bigger piece of space junk, she would be dead.
That is crazy. This is something I've never thought about before, ever. Now I have a new fear. Thank you, Tim. You're always giving me new fears.
Sorry about that. I didn't mean that, but it'll happen. It can happen.
I'll be like, don't go outside, kids. You might get hit by space junk.
That's right. Well, you could. It's, you know, as you bundle up the kids and send them out to the bus, I mean, you know, it's make sure you wear your jacket. You don't want to freeze to death. Make sure you've got your book bag with your stuff in it. You never know when you may need to MacGyver yourself out of a situation. And always look up in the sky. You could be hit by space junk.
Yeah, just wear a little bike helmet all the time.
That's right. I don't know that that's going to save you when space junk hits you in the head, but it's
probably not.
You know, it might save you from a concussion. You never know. When we come back from the break, Jess, we have got interesting stories all the way around. Elon Musk predicts that AI will overtake human intelligence within the next year. It's a little scary to chew on. We are going to be talking about ghosts, including, yay! And we've got an unusual story about a man on his deathbed who decides to spill it all. We'll tell you why it may not be a good idea to confess all on your deathbed.
Oh, no. I can't wait.
Yeah, that's coming up as well after the break. And someone decides they want to go Bigfoot hunting. Is it a good idea to call the DNR when you decide you're going to unload shells on Bigfoot? We'll tell you about that later in the program. And we're going to wrap up the program today by telling you, and this story comes from a listener, why zombie kush isn't exactly the way to get high.
No.
Yeah, zombie kush. There's a new way to get high, and it is frightening. That coming up all today. And we've got your Parashare stories today. We've got a Parashare story or two today. We'll check in with our listeners in Parashare today. It's all coming up on Supernatural News and Parashare. It's a Wednesday right here on the best in paranormal programming with Tim Dennis and Jessica Freeberg on Darkness Radio. Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio on a Supernatural News Wednesday, along with Parashare. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is our co-host, Jessica Freeberg. Jess.
Hey.
It's light, it's airy, it's a Wednesday, it's midweek, it's hump day.
Love it.
We're almost to the end of the week. Are you feeling the good vibes?
I totally am. And you said ghost stories, so I'm super psyched.
Yeah, see, we got ghost stories coming up. We got Parashare coming up. It's feeling good. We're feeling good on a Wednesday, aren't we?
We're feeling good.
Well, guess what, my friend?
Oh, no.
We're about to ruin it! Yeah, that's right. It's time for Nightmare Fuel.
Oh, no.
We'll try to make it as painless as possible today. We're going to start it off with Elon Musk, our old buddy over there at Tesla, who predicts that superhuman AI will be smarter than people by next year.
I don't like that.
You don't like that? No?
No. Huh.
His claim comes with a caveat that shortages of training chips and growing demand for power could limit plans in the near term. The prediction is a sharp tightening of an earlier claim from the multi-billionaire that super intelligent AI would exist by 2029, whereas superhuman is generally defined as being smarter than any individual human at any specific task. Superintelligent is often defined instead as being smarter than every human's combined ability at any task. That's kind of a stretch.
It's a lot.
Is this thing going to be able to fix my car, do my homework, and at the same time, be able to run the world? That's what I want to know.
AI for president.
That's right. AI for president. Oh, God. No, no, no. We don't want him running our world. That's for sure. My guess is that we'll have AI that is smarter than any one human, possibly around the end of next year, Musk said in a live stream interview on his social network X. That prediction was made with the caveat that increasing demands for power and shortages of the most powerful AI training chips could limit their capability in the near term. Last year, it was chip constrained, he said. People could not get enough NVIDIA chips. This year, it's transitioning to a voltage transformer supply. In a year or two, it is just electricity supply. So see, you can kill them by shutting down the power.
We have a plan.
That's right. We can, if we just go analog on the bit, we can kill them all. In 2023, when he predicted a 5 to 6 year runway for superintelligence, Musk was vocally concerned about the ramifications, speaking alongside the launch of his AI startup, XAI. That year, he said, if I could press pause on AI or really advanced AI digital superintelligence, I would. It doesn't seem like that is realistic, so XAI is essentially going to build an AI in a good way, sort of, hopefully, he said. It is actually important for us to worry about a Terminator future in order to avoid a Terminator future, Musk added, referencing the film where a self-aware computer system wages war on humanity. A year on, and XAI is firmly trying to lead the development of superintelligence. In a recent interview, Musk said the latest version of its chatbot, Grok AI, was on par with GPT-4, which is the leading model from OpenAI. GPT-4 is more than a year old, and competitors have already met or exceeded its capabilities, with Anthropic's Claude 3 Opus generally seeming to be the new market leader. The entrepreneur's predictions are infamously freely made. In 2016, he wrongly forecast that within 2 years it would be possible for Tesla to drive autonomously from New York to Los Angeles. That same year, he said his SpaceX rocket company would fly to Mars in 2018, which, by the way, it still hasn't done that. So, you know.
So you're saying he could be wrong, and I like that.
There's a chance he's probably going to be wrong. Also in 2017, Musk suggested his Neuralink brain chip startup's first product would be on the market in about 4 years. That first human received the implant from the company 7 years later. So he's a little off on his timelines. Musk does have his hands full as well. Over the weekend, he declared war on a Brazilian Supreme Court justice, calling for him to resign or be impeached over court orders levied against X, requiring it to take down the accounts of some Brazilian users. On Monday, news broke of testimony that he had given in court about his posts on the site, in which he conceded that he may have done more to financially impair the company than to help it.
Uh-oh.
He's got a lot going on. He's a busy man. He also added, I do not guide
my... He's a very busy man.
What's that?
I said he's a very busy man.
He's a very busy man. He added, I do not guide my post by what is financially beneficial, but by what I believe is interesting or important or entertaining to the public. So Elon got a lot going on, but he also claims AI is going to pass us by next year. So I don't know. I don't buy that. I think it's probably going to be a few years. But I think within 5 years, we'll have super intelligent AI that probably will surpass us.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah. And I don't like that at all.
Yeah, that's a little dangerous. A little dangerous and a little scary, that's for sure. Speaking of scary, how do you feel about AI taking over your favorite TV shows?
No, I hate it.
Well, the people who watch Doctor Who hated it as well, and they complained to the BBC. So much so that the BBC stopped using AI for their Doctor Who promotion after receiving multiple complaints. want to thank our listeners for sending in this story as well. The BBC has no plans to use AI again to promote Doctor Who after receiving complaints from viewers. The BBC's marketing teams used the tech as part of a small trial, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, to help draft some text for two promotional emails and mobile notifications. That, according to complaints to their website, which was intended to highlight Doctor Who programming on the BBC. But the corporation received complaints over the reports that it was using generative AI, it added. We followed all BBC editorial compliance processes, and the final text was verified and signed off by a member of the marketing team before it was sent. According to the BBC, they said, "We have no plans to do this again to promote Doctor Who." The BBC didn't say how many complaints it received, but they are likely to be quite few in number. That at least is what they're saying. The decision to stop promoting via generative AI represents a U-turn from the BBC, who said at the time of announcement that generative AI offers a great opportunity to speed up making the extra assets to get more experiments live for more content that we are trying to promote. At the time, the BBC didn't mention that this would be the only time it uses the technology for Doctor Who promotion. AI has been a hot-button topic in the TV industry as of late. In the UK, where Doctor Who is made, producer trade body Pact recently used principles for the use of AI in UK production. Over the weekend, OpenAI headed to Hollywood to show its potential for its revolutionary Sora software for studios. The topic also generated much chatter at last week's Series Mania confab. Doctor Who will launch in May on the BBC, and for the first time, Disney Plus, a new trailer was unveiled last week for Doctor Who. And boy, oh boy, if generative AI has started to be used in a lot of, well, we know it's being used on Disney Plus for the Star Wars stuff.
And oh, yeah.
It's being used in a lot of sci-fi. You can see it all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's being used quite magnificently. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's being used quite magnificently. They're using it in a lot of paranormal programming now too. It's quite obvious.
Yeah. And that's kind of the bummer, though. I mean, because it's become this thing where you can't trust anything you see anymore. So it's muddied the waters so much, especially in like the paranormal world, mm-hmm. where it's like everything you have to assume could be faked now.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the main argument with the strikes this past year. You know, that actors didn't want to be replaced by AI, and they saw the trend coming.
Yeah.
That, you know, AI was going to come in and take jobs. It was going to take jobs away from actors. You know, it basically took the jobs of the entire paranormal department over at Discovery. I mean, you only have a few live shows left over at Discovery.
Yeah, such a bummer.
Yeah. So, you know, you've got just a few people who have contracts now to create content. Most of your favorite ghost hunting shows are gone. And now the trend is to do reenactment or recreation shows. And we'll see how long that trend lasts. I mean, we'll see. It's up to you, the viewer, as to whether you like these shows. And if you like them, then they'll continue to make them. If you backlash against them and tell them what exactly it is you want, then they'll be forced to make them.
We're going to have to rebel against the AI. That's all there is to it. Otherwise, it is going to take over the world.
Let me ask you, Jess, what do you prefer to see on TV? Because it seems to me like the paranormal public doesn't even know what they want to see right now.
You know, I think probably our interests kind of ebb and flow as well. So, you know, maybe it is a good time for something different with more of the reenactments. But I like a mix. I like to have the option because sometimes you want to see the live action and sometimes you want to see the reenactment stuff. I just hate to see so much of it go away so quickly. You know, it's just such a big change so fast.
Yeah, it all went away very quickly. I mean, it was just, it was one fell swoop and all of a sudden all your favorites were gone and you didn't have a choice.
Yeah, almost like if you want to watch the live stuff, you got to kind of go on YouTube now.
Yeah, Yeah, everybody all of a sudden had to become independent filmmakers, and they had to take their stuff to YouTube.
Which might create some opportunities for other people, you know, outside of the big studios and stuff. So I guess I can't say it's all bad. It's kind of fun to see some of the stuff that people are putting out there because people are really talented. I mean, I'm kind of blown away sometimes by some of these YouTube shows I pick up on when I'm just kind of browsing around and researching. I get sucked into them. They're good.
Very true. And you know what? It allows you to watch them on demand as well and watch them when you want to watch them as opposed to being stuck to a cable format where you have to, you know, you're more constrained. I mean, mind you, most everything is on demand now anyways with streaming, but you know, you're not a slave to, let's just say you're not a slave to a streaming service if it's on YouTube.
You're
not paying for a streaming service or you're not paying for cable if you decide to take it to YouTube. You know?
Yeah, and it feels kind of good to watch some of those because you know that you're giving them another watch, they're getting more credit for, you know, views, and they're getting more money in their pocket and they're independent, and I dig that.
I don't mind supporting an independent artist and putting the money right in their pocket. That's for sure.
Yeah. So there's the bright side, Tim. We found it. That's right.
It's a weird time, Jess. That's for sure. It's a weird time. The hard part though is with so many independent creators is finding the ones you want to watch. That's for sure.
And the ones that are quality. You know, there's a lot of noise out there. That's not great.
That's right. It's the Wild West out there. That's for sure. It really is. It really is. It's hard to find the ones you want to watch. That's for sure. Well, let's switch gears a little bit here. I had teased before the break that there was a man who was on his deathbed and decided he wanted to spill all to his nurse.
Uh-oh.
Be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you might get it. A man's chilling deathbed confession leaves his nurse on edge and sends a hospital into a spiral. Let's tell you a little bit about what happened here. A dying man spent his final days helping the police solve cold cases after confessing to a life of crime. In a deathbed confession, the man admitted to being an ex-gang member who could kill people in exchange for money.
Yikes.
Interesting. After making his confession to a nurse working in his ward, she was forced to contact the hospital's legal team, admitting there was no policies in place to deal with this type of situation. Responding to the questions, nurses have Reddit, what were the most haunting things someone said on their deathbed? She said, we had an ex-gang guy who was dying of cancer, and he confessed that he was the gang hitman for many years. He wanted to confess to all the killings and show the police where the bodies are buried. He would get closure knowing that the surviving families of his victims find out where they are buried. We had to get the hospital legal team involved because we had no policies to deal with that. Cops got involved and the dude confessed to gang murders from decades ago. Users couldn't help but wonder what happened next, and asked whether he was arrested and moved to a prison hospital awaiting trial. Well, if he's on his deathbed, what trial are you going to get? You're not going to get one.
Yeah, save the taxpayers some money. He's already done for.
Yeah. One user asked, in a situation like that, do they arrest the guy and bring him in, or do they just let him stay in the hospital? Well, again, for what? He's dying.
He's got his death sentence.
Yeah. Is there suddenly a cop stationed outside his room? Again, where is he going? He's dying. Another user said, I wonder if he actually did all those himself, because that seems like the perfect way to cover for your buddies as well. Now, that is true.
Yeah, good point.
Just claim a few of their hits and chances are they'll close the case after your confession. That's an excellent point. A third user added, on one hand, it's such a blessing that he revealed his info. On the other hand, he probably would have never opened his mouth if he wasn't dying, knowing there would be no consequence in this world anyway. Yeah, it's true.
Right. Yeah.
In a follow-up post, the nurse said, the police took a statement, but he was never charged because he was literally dying. He died at the hospice a week later. We never found out if the information he gave led to anything, though. I kept hoping for a big news story about it, but nothing turned up. We also didn't want to ask too many questions because of the gang connections and stuff. Interesting.
Yeah, scary.
Well, you know, I hope that the families involved got closure. I hope that they did find the bodies of the people who were slain, and that, you know, that there was closure for families involved. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, a sad story indeed, that it took the end of one's life in order to want to come clean. You know?
Yeah, that's heavy. I thought you were going to say he was going to confess to, like, getting frisky with the nanny or something. I wasn't expecting mass murder.
I wish it was something as simple as that, you know, where it was just, oh, yeah, I got it on with the nanny. I've got 21 kids in a different state. It, you know. Maybe I'll find a lighter one for next time, Jess. It, you know. Got another ghost story here for you, though. This one is a shocking moment where a ghost child is spotted playing on a moving swing, which supposedly left this family terrified.
Yeah, ghost kids are always creepy.
You know, there's a new movie out. I'm going to take a sidebar here for a second. There's a new movie out. I was reading a review of it today, and it kind of surprised me because the movie company didn't want to let us review it. And that's the new Omen movie.
Oh.
They wouldn't let us review it. Now, normally, when a movie company doesn't let you review it, it's an absolute stinker.
Yeah.
But the review I read was absolutely glowing for it, saying it was probably better than the original.
Really? I'm excited because I loved the original.
Yeah. And they were saying that the prequel was really, really good, this new prequel. And I thought, well, if it was so good, how come they didn't let us review it?
Interesting.
But they were saying that there are some really controversial and gory scenes in their heart. They find it hard to believe it's a Disney movie.
Oh, wow. It's a Disney movie?
Yeah. It's produced by Disney.
Huh. That surprises me.
But the fact of the matter is it takes place in a convent, and it's got controversial themes.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to be watching that one.
But it has, of course, it has children in it. And of course, when you've got creepy children in it, it's automatically going to throw you.
Yes. Ghost kids are creepy. And I'm always a little dubious of ghost kids because it feels like if you're a child and you pass, don't you just get to go to heaven, you know, or whatever you believe? Like, don't you just get to go somewhere nice? Like, why are you stuck around? And then I think, oh, is it like something creepy pretending to be a kid? Is it you know, something darker?
I would think, right? Or at least that's what we're trained. I mean, we're trained to think that, right, as investigators?
I'm always dubious. I mean, there's definitely been occasions where we've had interactions where I would say they definitely felt energetically like a child. But then there are other times where there have been things saying they're a child and responding to, you know, the investigation in the manner that they're indicating they're a child. But, you know, you kind of feel that vibe of like, no, they're not.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's dig into this story and see what exactly we're looking at here.
Yeah, let's have it.
Mysterious footage captures a ghost of a child, that's in quotes, playing on a moving swing in a park. Brian Ramberin and his family were disturbed to watch back the clip in which two swings appear to sway as if a kid was sitting on them. One swings much higher than the next one, and the one next to it, despite nobody being in the playground when the footage zooms out. Brian's four-year-old daughter, I believe this is Sanvi is her name, can be heard asking, how does it do that? I'm so scared. While his stunned nine-year-old son, Kartik, says it's swinging by itself. The clip was taken at a park near the family's home in Centurion, South Africa, and after which Brian's wife Yaj, who's 34 years old, was too scared to walk over and investigate the mystery. Brian, who's 35, is heard telling his wife, there are no children. We would have seen them walking. the baffled family watched for 20 minutes and posted the video of the paranormal activity on Facebook, where it led to lively discussion. Dad to two, Brian, said on the site, "The movement of the swing was as if a kid was swinging on it. We looked around and saw no kids or anyone nearby, and then we drove around to the parking lot and watched for well over 20 minutes. It was a bit scary, and it was shocking as I had my kids with me. I wanted to go to the swing to check if it would stop, but my family wouldn't let me. They were afraid." Brian, who recorded the video on December 19th of 2023, continued, "I always believed in the paranormal, and I know it exists, but it's good to get some evidence. People have been shocked by it online, and there's different views, but people can see that it's real, I guess. If it was wind, the other swing would be moving like that as well, and also the trees were barely moving. I zoomed out to show nobody was around at the time, so it couldn't be pushed. In all honesty, why would I do that? Push the swings myself. I don't have the time to be messing around making videos. I saw this, so I took video of it." His friends on Facebook were just as puzzled, with one person saying they would have ran away had they encountered the behavior. A second said somebody could have messed with it and left, or it's the spirit of a child, maybe. Another commented, "There is wind. You can see the leaves moving on the smaller tree." One replied, "Yes, there's wind, but not strong enough to do that." The skeptic responded, "But we can't see if someone's actually pushed the swings before the filming started." Let me see if I have a video attached on the article here. I just have pictures, it looks like. I don't see any video. Let me see. Is there video here? No, I don't see any video. Okay. I was going to say if we had video, I'd attach it to the description here, but...
Yeah, shoot.
I'm not seeing any video, so... Interesting article, though, to say the least. It's always difficult with video like that of swings moving and you're outdoors to be able to say you've got activity, because when you have atmospheric conditions like wind...
You always have to lean to the side of skepticism. I'm definitely right there alongside the skeptics, but it's a good capture, and it, you know, brings up good conversation. So good for that guy getting it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's move on to another ghost story. See, I've got more ghost stories for you here, Jess.
Yay!
More ghost stories. We go to a
favorite.
There you go, your favorite. We go to a gruesome well of sadness. That's the quote here, inside a brothel ridden with drunk ghosts.
Wow, that's my kind of place.
There you go, which is still operating today. The brothel isn't operating, obviously, but the saloon is. The White Eagle Saloon has cleaned up its act in recent years, but in the early 1900s, it was a different story. It says here, punters in the early 1900s, the only punters I know are on football teams, at the White Eagle Saloon in Oregon, had the pick of vices. They could head upstairs to the brothel or down to the basement for the opium den. Ooh, this,
whoa.
Boy, this is hardcore. Are you sure this is your kind of place?
This place is a party.
Yeah, it is. Where are you headed in this place already, Jess? You got two places, the brothel or the opium den?
Well, I want to go there now when all that stuff is gone and just spend the night and look for ghosts.
Okay, okay. It says here, that's as long as they didn't mind dodging the welcome tankard hurled at them upon arrival. They got stuff thrown at them. While ignoring the ghostly screams of sadness that could be heard from the top floor. Found a stone's throw away from Portland's dockyard. The legendary bar still operates to this day and offers rooms above the saloon. Although the website warns that with its nightly live music tradition, this is not for the light sleeper or the early riser. The scene sounds a downside more palatable than 100 years earlier. Since it was opened in 1905, the bar always had a reputation for violence. Constantly brawling sailors and European migrants gave the place its nickname, Bucket of Blood, and tour guides would reportedly hastily skip past it while on duty. Apart from the roughhousing, there was a more nefarious side to the Polish-run saloon. A YouTube video that investigated the most mysterious places in the U.S., documentarian Briggs claimed the establishment definitely had its fair share of stories. Disturbing accounts of unpleasant misadventure are described, both nonfiction and supernatural, whether that's a prostitute killed by a jealous lover or the tale of a waitress who was thrown down the stairs by an invisible force. Are you sure you still want to go here?
I want to go. I really want to go.
All right. There's a lot here to keep you interested around a campfire. The bar also has a tunnel which led from the basement straight to the dockyards, and drunks who wandered down there often felt hands dragging them along the underground path. You're sure you want to go there?
Yeah, I want to go there even more. You're just speaking my language right now. It sounds like such a great place to investigate.
I guess. It freaked people out enough for ghost hunters to investigate the gaff in the latter half of the 1900s. Visiting ghost boffins have often spoken of the deep well of sadness that they felt upstairs. The stories of this stems from the tale of the prostitute called Rose, who worked at the saloon for many years. As legend goes, Rose fell in love with a sailor who was married but still loved her back. When the bloke went off sailing around the globe, one of his fellow seamen became jealous of their love and murdered Rose.
Aww, poor Rose.
Today, it's thought that Rose haunts the upstairs room at the White Eagle Saloon, with many people often reporting that they hear a woman weeping, almost as if she is crying for her long-lost love. Although there have been some harrowing tales of whole trays of glasses going up in the air on their own and smashing, there are some stories about friendly supernatural visitors. Locals often regale tourists with accounts of a ghost named Sam, a blokish-sounding fellow who just sits at the bar and gets plastered with the barmaids. When he's done for the night, Sam will stumble in an incredibly unghost-like manner down the stairs and relieve himself in the facility's bog.
No, gross.
My kind of ghost. You couldn't make it up if you tried, it says here. Oh, we're not trying to, but that's everything you can find there at the White Eagle Saloon in Oregon. So it sounds like a trip is in order there.
I think a road trip is happening.
I think it may. With that in mind, I think now it's time for ParaShare. Now, keep in mind, folks, with ParaShare, you've got two ways that you can do ParaShare. You can either go to our website, darknessradioshow.com. You can leave us a voice note. To do that, there's a little blue button on the right-hand side of the website at darknessradioshow.com. You click on that blue button. You've got 2 minutes in which you can leave us your story, your voice note. If you need more time, you just click on the blue button repeatedly. I will string those 2 minute segments together, and we will replay your story right here on the program. That's one way of doing it. The other way is write us an old-fashioned email. And when you do that, we will play it right here on the email. We'll read it right here on the show. That's the best way to do it, if you just send it to tim@darknessradio.com. Now, if you send me something on social media, if we're friends on social media, well, I don't always remember to get it here on the show. So I want you to send it to the email, because I got this nice little folder labeled ParaShare where I put your ParaShare stories, and it's easier for me to remember. I won't always remember to grab it off my social media. So with that in mind, Jess, Nancy writes us. It says, yes, I'm back. She says, I'm a light sleeper. This says very recently, March 12th. I'm a light sleeper most of the time. Between 3 and 4 a.m., I heard a couple of light snores next to me, like they were laying on the floor between the bed and the wall. They were not on my bed. It wasn't me, because this was heard in between my breaths. I was too startled and terrified to open my eyes and see what was there, let alone say anything. Could it be my late husband? Possible, she says, with a little broken heart emoji next to it. Mm-hmm. Did someone astral project themselves? Another time-bending experience? Something else? Evil? Again, I live alone. Maybe I should start entertaining the idea of getting a big dog for protection. And that's signed Nancy.
Yeah, or even a little dog, Nancy. My little dogs are crazy.
That's true. That's true. I don't know, Nancy. All I know is if you're hearing snoring next year, that's not a good thing.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's never a good thing.
Oh, it's kind of sweet if it's her late husband. That's sweet.
That would be sweet if it was. Yeah.
Anything else is terrifying.
That's true. That's true. This one from Mark. He says, I'm sure you've seen by now the photos going around of the Mothman statue in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, where someone's been obviously put a tramp stamp on it, or they've been tucking a buck in between the buttocks. Have you seen those?
No, they put a tramp stamp on it?
Yeah, they put a tramp stamp on Mothman's backside.
Oh, my goodness.
And then
goodness. They've
also been tucking change in between his buttocks.
Who is doing this?
Multiple people have been doing this in West Virginia. He also says he wanted to send us an article about it, but wasn't able to find one. I even looked at the local paper, the Point Pleasant Register, but nothing. If you can find a valid article, I think it would be a pretty funny segment. I, you know what? It's been covered so much online, Mark. I didn't bother to do that. He says, while I have you here, I might as well give you my thoughts on the Jack Klugman Mandela effect controversy. I was doing a little digging and found an article which states the line, in March 2012, Klugman canceled plans to appear in a stage production of 12 Angry Men at the George Street Playhouse in New Jersey, citing poor health. I'm wondering if this was the point in which he discovered that he had prostate cancer. The timing fits. They would have made statements about his career, and at such a time, and it's possible people are remembering this is when he died. When it comes to the initial subject of the Mandela effect, Nelson Mandela, I remember first hearing about him when I was in school back in 1990, and he was released from prison. We went over in class several things about him and apartheid and what led to his incarceration. Many kids around my age probably remember had this as their first awareness of him. As time went on, they probably associated that time period with his death. I'm thinking the same thing might have happened with Klugman. I do have a story of a recent Mandela effect type thing that happened to me concerning Jimmy Carter. About a year ago, he opted to enter hospice. Then on President's Day this year, I saw an article where they were honoring the current surviving presidents, but forgot to put Carter in the list. I thought to myself, but wait, didn't Carter just die right after his wife? I kind of remember that too. I called my parents to ask if they thought Carter was still alive or deceased. They both thought they remembered me being at their house watching the news of how he had died and how we had talked about how it seemed like he had held on just long enough to send off Rosalind at her funeral. I just passed off the article as bad information, but a couple weeks later, I had heard talk of how it had been almost a year since Carter had entered hospice. I decided to check Wikipedia, and sure enough, he's still kicking. That blew my mind. I have absolute memories of the news coverage and conversations with multiple people about it. It's not like this was years ago, but it was only a few months back. Most Mandela effects I can rationalize or sort out, but this one sticks with me. Anyways, talk to you later. Marky Mark. Mark, that one with Carter, I don't know that that's necessarily a Mandela effect. That's just people forgetting, you know, or misplacing what exactly is going on with Carter and President Carter. It's easy to forget because the news coverage was sketchy with that, I think, because of wanting to treat the death of Rosalind Carter with kid gloves and the fact that he was in such ill health. A lot of times when there's a dignitary that's in ill health, and I'm speaking from experience in working in a newsroom, you don't want to report someone who's in ill health and talk about their ill health repeatedly. You want to mention it and move on. So if they're not in good health, you'll make a mention of it at the time that there's something newsworthy going on with them, and then you'll move on up until the point where they potentially pass. Because they can rebound. And if they're rebounding, and the reason for that is because the family will come after you as a news organization and say, why do you keep reporting negatively about our family member? They're actually doing pretty well. And you get bounced back from the family. So if you continue to say someone's in ill health, you're looked at negatively for reporting negatively. So you say it once, you move on. You don't belabor the point. So a lot of people, yeah, if you say someone's in ill health and then you don't hear anything about it for a long time, yeah, a lot of people would assume, well, then he must have passed away. Not true. You just don't belabor the point on someone who's ill. And that's all that is. So I can see where you're coming from, but at the same time, just because you don't hear something about somebody for a long time doesn't mean that they're gone.
It's probably just the logical leap in our brain, like you said.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And that's all that is.
Totally.
Yeah.
I got to thank Marky Mark, though, for bringing this Mothman tramp stamp to my attention. I have not seen that, and I was Googling it, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. If you see the different pictures from Point Pleasant, they're, yeah. Did you see the buck tucked it in between his buttocks?
Yes, and why does he have such a pronounced booty? Like,
he does.
Whoever made this statue, like, made his butt, like... I mean, it's amazing. I need to go for a run and do some squats. I have to keep up with this Mothman statue.
Right? Somebody is sexually enamored with Mothman.
That's wild.
Yeah. Someone's got it in for Mothman. Just really, really loving some Mothman. So
thank you, Mark. I love the story, and it's really cracking me up over here.
There you go. I don't know. I don't get it. But... So there you go. There's our ParaShare for this week. If you have ParaShare stories that you want to share with us, by all means, send them in, tim@darknessradio.com, or you can leave us a voice note. Again, go to darknessradioshow.com. Click on that blue button on the right-hand side. Leave your voice note. You've got 2 minutes to do so. If you need more time, click the button again. Leave another 2 minutes on there. I'll stitch them together. We'll air your lovely voice here on the show. Let's continue on with our stories here, Jess. Baba Vanga, the somewhat famous psychic who's left us, the Bulgarian mystic, Baba Vanga's followers have said that this mystic is incredibly accurate. Well, there are already... predictions that were supposed predictions. I'm using air quotes here that nobody but you and I can see. that Baba Vanga is continuing to make these accurate predictions, although much like Nostradamus, these are picked out of the air. And no. Already there are some predictions for 2024 that have already come true. Although I'm looking at the story here and I'm not seeing, I click on the story and they're, I'm not seeing which of these supposedly have come true. Here we go. It says, whether you believe in psychics or their ability to tell the future or not, you have to admit it's an interesting subject. They're saying Baba Vanga already has 2024 predictions that have come true. Baba Vanga is said to predicted the 9/11 attacks, Brexit, the date of her own death. And for this year, the psychic predicted that the world would make huge medical and technological breakthroughs, which we already have, it says here. Just a few months into the year, scientists have already made medical advances, just like Baba Vanga predicted. And it was confirmed recently that a lung cancer vaccine is being worked on.
Ooh.
Okay. I don't know that Baba Vanga came out and said that specifically. Scientists at the University of Oxford, University College London, and the Francis Crick Institute have teamed up to work on a project known as LungVax after they received £17 million from major UK charities that will help them fund 3,000 vaccines for lung cancer. And that's not all, as scientists in Russia are also working on a similar idea. Vladimir Putin previously told the press that Russian scientists have come very close to the creation of so-called cancer vaccines and immunomodulatory drugs of a new generation. Although he did not specify the types of cancer that would be treatable under the vaccine, he added at the time, I hope that soon they will be effectively used as methods of individual therapy. Baba Vanga also predicted that 2024 would face an economic crisis, and she was right about that, as both the UK and Japan are grappling with exactly that. It was confirmed by the Office of National Statistics that gross domestic product, or GDP, fell by a larger than expected 0.3% within the 3 months to December in the UK. This is a result of a decline in all main sectors of the economy and collapse in retail sales. In Japan, the yen is currently at an all-time 34-year low, weakening to 151.97 against the U.S. dollar. The country has now moved down to fourth position in global standings, being overtaken by Germany in third. Does that seem weak to you for a prediction?
You know, a lot of times it feels like a stretch. That feels like a stretch, yeah.
I think so. Just a little bit. A little bit of a stretch. But, okay, we'll give them. We'll give it to them.
That's, why not?
Yeah.
Let them have it.
I mean, you know, when you're a dead psychic who's trying to make their predictions and trying to be somewhat of a prophet, you know, you take what you can get.
I mean, it's kind of like, though, you're taking stuff and making sense of it after the fact, like, in, you know, and you plug predictions in where they make sense sometimes. And I'm not saying they're not always accurate. Like, sometimes there are some that's like, wow, you know, like, how did they come up with that? But I feel like oftentimes we're like taking these predictions and like plugging them into current events and making sense of it that way. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you are. I'm going to start writing down a bunch of random, random shit is what I'm going to write. And it's up to you, Jess, if I ever expire, to try and make it fit with the current day. And I want you to start calling me Prophet Baldy.
And Prophet Baldy said.
Prophet Baldy said that this was going to happen. And yeah.
It would be kind of fun, though, just as an experiment. If we did write down some predictions for like 2025, you and I, and like, then come back together in 2025 and be like, okay, like, did these things happen?
I think we should.
I'd be curious to see like how we could plug stuff in. I'm not saying that we would psychically predict it, but to me, it's more like a practice of like, are we really just kind of plugging facts in or predictions into facts to make sense of a prediction or to make it logical? So we do that when we look at stuff too, right? Like, we sometimes will look at a picture and when we say, oh, it's a ghost, clearly, but really our eyes are just kind of trying to make sense of what we're seeing. It's what our brain does. So
I say we do that. So
I should.
Here's our assignment. Before the next time we do Supernatural News together, let's come up with 3 to 5 things that we very generic things for 2025. Very generic. Okay. Just so generic that there's just no way. There's just no way we could miss on this. Right.
And do a couple specific just to see. Like, don't sit down and get all, you know, like, or whatever you do before you do a psychic prediction, Tim. I don't know what your process is.
That's pretty much what it is. I just sit around and go, yeah. And then I get it. I think, you know, I think I did predictions with Bruiser for 2024.
You?
Yeah, and I think I might have hit on a couple already. I think I said something about a sex scandal for 2024. Ooh. And Diddy is in the middle of one. Yeah.
Heck yeah, nailed it.
Let me see. Let me look in my trusty notebook here. I believe I did. I remember him saying, I could have swore I said something about, you have to go back to the prediction show, folks, did I say, I think I said something about a major sex scandal in the world of entertainment, if I remember right, and it was going to bring down someone in the world of music. I could have swore I said something like that.
Prophet Baldy speaks.
Prophet Baldy speaks again. Prophet Baldy. Boy, if I did, I'm telling you, I'm giving up this show gig. I'm going into being a psychic.
Yeah, you should. Just get you on some shows.
Yeah. I mean, Chip Coffee's got a scarf, so I got to think of some sort of accoutrement I can wear. I don't know. Maybe I start wearing Jughead beanies. I don't know. What do I start wearing?
You can't cover up the bald. You got to keep the bald. The bald needs to shine.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that doesn't sound right. hey, now. Hey. The bald needs to shine. Did I write? Is this where I wrote it down?
Maybe your thing is like you're a cowboy. So maybe you could like come in like some cowboy boots, oh, you know, some chaps.
Ooh, there you I do have a picture of me in chaps.
There you go. That's your thing.
I'll wear chaps. Just a hoodie and chaps.
A hoodie and chaps.
No pants. I'll be like Prince. I don't have it in this notebook. I know I wrote it down though. I wrote down our predictions, and when I wrote them down, I seem to remember something about the world of entertainment. I could have swore I wrote down sex scandal.
If you are doing the assless chaps and no pants, you have to have a tramp stamp like our Mothman friend.
Yes, yeah. It's going to be a kid tattoo though. So, you know, I mean like the, you know, like the rub-on ones. So it'll probably be like Super Mario Brothers or something.
Be Scooby-Doo.
Oh, okay. I could do Scooby-Doo too. Yeah. I was thinking of being more hip, you know, like Super Mario is kind of hip. You know,
Mario's pretty cool. I mean, whatever you want, as long as it's a tramp stamp right above your crack.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Because I'm speedy.
All right, folks, we have a plan.
Sonic the Hedgehog, just do it in and out and get it over with. There you go. Anywho, we should move on to the next story. There's such a thing as appropriate and inappropriate. I just exercised it with a Sonic the Hedgehog tattoo over my crack. The other would be calling the DNR to see if he could hunt Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One hunter is calling the police to ask about the legality of shooting Bigfoot. The man who intended to visit Washington State, probably not the place you want to ask about shooting Bigfoot, had...
I love his optimism, though. Oh, like, he thinks he's going to find him.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, when in Rome, right? Yeah. Had wanted to know if shooting Bigfoot would break the law. How about yes? Just assume it would.
You don't have a tag for that, so therefore...
Yeah. Yeah. It might sound like a silly question, but when you think about it, the legality of shooting and killing a Sasquatch, should a creature like that exist, well, it wouldn't be entirely clear, would it, if you called the DNR? According to the Stevens County Sheriff's Office in Washington State, such uncertainty prompted one caller who said that he was planning to hunt in the Big Meadow Lake area in mid-April. To express concerns about breaking the law, should that happen, or should he happen to bag himself a real-life Bigfoot. I tried to send him to Fish and Wildlife, but they had sent him to us, a post in the office's Facebook page read. Oh, great, so we're playing telephone tag now. They just pass him back and forth. Mr. Name Removed, it says here, is worried about how to stay within the law while hunting in the Big Meadow Lake area because our state rules are not clear about hunting Bigfoot, the sheriff went on to say. He needs to know, one, is it illegal in Stevens County to shoot Bigfoot? And two, does he need a regular hunting license to keep his Bigfoot hunt legal?
Bless his heart. He's just a good guy. He just wants to do the right thing.
Right. I got a tag and bag, Bigfoot. If he doesn't hear from someone today, he plans to call back tomorrow, was the quote. So he's persistent.
Someone give the man an answer.
Yeah. The caller even made a point to state that he would deliberately avoid shooting any female Sasquatch. We got to keep the species going. The sheriff's office replied to the query by recommending he talk to officials in Pend Oreille County. Not quite sure. I'm not from there. Instead, and followed this up by insisting that there are no Sasquatch in Stevens County. He's pretty sure about that.
Pretty sure.
Yeah. We know this because one of our deputies would have accidentally hit one with a patrol car by now.
Is that what it says?
Yeah, that's what the post reads.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, he put that right in the post. So, yeah, he said if they existed, we would have hit it with the patrol car, either because they're that plentiful, the Sasquatch are in that area, or their patrolmen are that blind. So
really bad drivers.
Yeah. No, old Skippy, he ain't got such good vision, so we would have hit one by now.
Told him to eat more carrots.
That's right.
Get your vitamin C.
We haven't had an optometrist working in this area in about 10, 12 years. Nobody's got glasses. So. And finally today, Jess, one thing they probably need in the Stevens County area is more party implements, more Kush. Because
more Kush.
If you want to see Sasquatch and you want to hunt them, you're probably going to need to get high.
I don't know. Guns and getting high seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, it probably is. Yeah. It turns out in Sierra Leone, they've come up with a dangerous way to get high. Want to thank our listeners for sending in this story as well. This will give you nightmares on your way out tonight. Zombie Kush is a new thing in Sierra Leone, and the thought of this is absolutely disgusting. Are you ready for this, Jess?
I'm bracing myself.
They are digging up human bones and mixing it with their weed to get high.
No! What? No!
Mm-hmm. They're boning up to get high in Sierra Leone. Addicts are digging up human bones as part of a recipe to make the drug Kush, and it's become a national emergency in Sierra Leone and is slowly moving to other West African countries.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that seals it. AI is definitely going to be smarter than us in a year.
You think? I'll give you one of those. Yeah. Oh, my God. Sierra Leone President Julius Mada Bio took to the airwaves Thursday for a nationwide address about the drug scourge, which has forced police officers to keep watch over cemeteries in the capital of Freetown to prevent young men from digging up skeletons. Yeah.
Ugh.
Our country is currently faced with an existential threat due to the ravaging impact of drugs and substance abuse, particularly the devastating synthetic drug Kush, Bio said. One of the main ingredients in Kush is ground up human bone, which, when added to other substances like harmful chemicals, cannabis, herbs, and disinfectant, enhances the drug's effect.
Mm. No, thank you.
Ew. The drug, which is fairly cheap to procure, provides a lengthy hypnotic high that takes users out of reality for several hours and first surfaced in the country about 6 years ago. Hundreds of young men have recently died of organ failure linked to the dangerous narcotic. That's right, organ failure, Jess.
Feel like they earned it. They're digging up corpses.
Mm.
That's like karma right there.
Yeah, it is. Admissions to the Sierra Leone Psychiatric Hospital involved sicknesses linked to Kush have risen almost 4,000% between 2020 and 2023, and most victims are young men under 25. The nation's only drug rehab center located in Freetown opened this year with just 100 beds, according to the BBC. Aspiring musician, 25-year-old Abu Bakar, gave up his dreams after Kush turned him into a zombie. That's in quotes. Because of drugs, I did not concentrate on studies, Bakar told Channel 4 News. Because of drugs, I did not concentrate on writing. Because of drugs, I did not concentrate on anything. He's now homeless and lives on a landfill site outside of Freetown, one of more than 1,000 others who reportedly stay there. Another addict said, Kush takes you to another world where you don't know yourself, another addict revealed. It's like it has something demonic on it. They see their friends and people around them dying, and yet they still take it.
Yikes. That's so sad and disgusting all at the same time.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah. Can we just leave our listeners with this advice? Don't get high off dead bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's disturbing, to say the least. We don't always leave you with a laugh on Supernatural News. That's for sure. That is, whew, disgusting. Speaking of feeding on dead bodies, on tomorrow's show, tomorrow's show, Jess, we are headed back to the land of Dracula.
Ooh, I love it.
Dacre Stoker is with us tomorrow. He is the great-grandson of Bram Stoker. And there's a new Dracula project out there.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah, a new documentary. And we'll tell you how you can get involved with it. That is on
tomorrow. I'll be listening to that.
That is on tomorrow's show. So that's what we have on the big show tomorrow. Yeah. But it has nothing to do with Kush or crushing up bones or anything like that. I'll tell you that much.
You can clean our palate tomorrow with this episode.
That's right. No blood, just no bones, just blood. That's tomorrow. So, yeah. What do you have going on in your world?
Oh, man. Just, writing books. Got lots of books to write. And so I just feel like I'm doing a lot of that right now, trying to hit my deadlines. That's the goal.
There you go. And we'll keep you updated on what's going on with Jess as well. We've got a link to her website that you can check out in the description of this program. So keep up with what's going on with Jessica Freeberg on her website. I'm not a KNSI this weekend, so I'll be hanging out with chipmunks outside. That's what I'm doing.
Enjoy.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a wonderful weekend this weekend.
It's a good weekend to sit around with your chipmunks.
Yeah. It's supposed to be in the 70s this weekend.
I love it.
Yeah. Good weekend to do that. So I think that's what I'll be doing this weekend. We have some exciting guests coming up in the next month.
Who do you have?
I can't say. I'm always afraid someone's going to scoop the guests off the show.
The suspense.
I know. But I'll just put it this way. We've got on True Crime Tuesday, we've got some returning guests. One of the guests is on her third book. And this, I've had people tell me that her first two books were so disturbing. And she's got the trifecta of this book series.
Mm-hmm.
She was doxxed by... we'll put it this way. She was doxxed. If you may remember LaDonna Humphrey, I will tease this one. LaDonna Humphrey's going to be back with us this next month.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. That'll be good.
She was doxxed by this particular predator. And the story is so powerful that she's come out with the third book now. And it is about to come out. And I'll tell you, Jess, this book series is so powerful. And LaDonna's been through the ringer.
Yeah.
Looking forward to having her on this month. We've got, man, both on Darkness Radio and on True Crime Tuesday, we've got some heavy hitters coming. So, yeah.
Always bring us the good stuff, Timmy.
Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. So, but I'm afraid to say who. I can't say who because...
Don't say it. Keep a secret. No, you teased us enough.
Yeah. So
we got a taste.
Yeah. So good stuff. Good stuff down the line here. So, yeah. So good stuff to come in April and in May. We're working on bringing back some return guests. We're working on new authors, new guests. So lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff in the hopper. So that's about it. Want to remind you, Potographs for Pooches in May 18th at the Palmer House. Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Almost in Sauk Rapids. That's a different city. Sauk Center, Minnesota. Precious few tickets left. They're almost gone. If you want to join us May 18th and help out the animals, please do go to darknessradioshow.com, the events section. Click on the Potographs for Pooches link and get your tickets. Richard Estep and Tim Miley and myself You're gonna, boy, you're, it's the cost is so nominal, and you're gonna get your money's worth and then some, and it's gonna be a wonderful day out there. Be sure you get your tickets, because by gosh, I don't even I'm speaking now and saying there's precious few tickets left. They may be gone for all I know, but and if you can't be there that day, then by gosh, buy some swag from Pottergrass for Pooches, and help out a animal shelter near you. You can do that as well, and buy some of the merch for Murray and Tim, and help out Pottergrass for Pooches. And they're always helping out animal shelters near you. So please do that as well. We want you to support that charity and help out the animals no matter where you are. Please do. That's our pet project for this week. So other than that, that's all we got for this week. Tomorrow on the big show, Dacre Stoker, and we will delve into Dracula once again, this big project that's going on with Dacre. We want to find out more about that. For Jessica Freeberg, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for continuing to listen to Darkness Radio, and we will see you tomorrow on the best in paranormal programming. You've been listening to Darkness Radio.